Welcome to Inova Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
Hey guys, it's David with Inova Radio, and I got a buddy who from high school who is the athletic director at the University of North Alabama in Florence, Alabama, has a long history of excellence in football, and so what they have done the middle of December, first of December, is they have made a transition from Division II to Division I football, and all the sports except for football will be true Division I. Football is going to be the FCS series, which is the old NCAA series, and so I shot him a message, said, "Hey, let's chat. Let's talk about this transition and from a leadership perspective." And he was happy to oblige with me. There's some really good stuff in here. So I hope you'll take a listen and listen to some key things that he says. We just get into this. We were talking and trying to catch up a little bit. And so we caught up and then went straight into the interview. So there's no real true introduction to the video or to the interview. So I hope you, just take that into context. Also, I was having some technical difficulties during the recording. So it doesn't sound as good as I would like. But just know that this is some really good stuff in here, so I hope you take a good listen. We'll kind of wrap it up on the back end, and so here we go. Mark Linder. So. You said you were looking back through your notes and you found where they were looking at going to Division I since 2002.
That's within the first feasibility study that I found. I think the conversation probably happened in the mid 90s. Jacksonville State and Troy State at the time. I think that's when they made their transition in the early mid 90s. And so, our UNA faithful fans, they remember the days when we played Jacksonville and Troy and UT Martin and all those guys. And I think it was a conversation that when Jacksonville State and Troy went, there were some in our community that wanted to go then. And so you're looking at, what is that, 22, 23, 24 years ago.
Okay.
And so this decision has been probably about 25 years in the making. It's been an amazing venture for this community.
Wow. So what prompted the push in the last 5 or 10 years?
When I came in 2007, the conversation was starting then, but then the NCAA put a moratorium on the transition process.
Okay.
Because there were just too many ill-prepared institutions coming into Division I to get the revenue enhancement money from the NCAA.
Okay.
And so from there, they put a moratorium and it stopped all the transition from 2007 to 2011. So, it kind of took us off the hook as a university because we couldn't go anyway, even if we were prepared and wanted to. And then in 2011, the NCAA came out with some stricter requirements if you were going to transition to Division I. And so in 2011, that hit about the same time as six institutions from our current conference, the Gulf South Conference, that were all football playing institutions. They left the conference and joined another. And so we were down to about five football games. And at the University of North Alabama, football is really important.
Right.
So you had the combination of, okay, now the moratorium is lifted, you can come to Division I, if you meet these requirements. We had what looked to be the implosion of our current league, and so all that kind of came together, and our board of trustees says we really need to pursue this. And so in 2011 is when they voted to make the transition. What was probably the biggest stumbling block or hurdle for us to get through was the new requirements said that you had to have a conference invitation.
Okay.
You know, back in the days when Troy and Jacksonville moved on, you could go as an independent.
Right.
And so that was our biggest hurdle. And so the Ohio Valley, which is a good geographic fit for us, they have 12 institutions, and they were in expansion mode. And so that's why it took us such a long time to find a conference that fit. The Southern Conference, they look like they are changing kind of their makeup, if you will, a little bit. And so they wasn't a good fit. And at the time, the Atlantic Sun, back in 2011, didn't have a football playing option.
Okay.
Well, this last September, they signed an agreement with the Big South for football so that any scholarship playing institution, as far as football goes, in the A-Sun, if the A-Sun had a football playing institution that had scholarships, they could automatically be slotted into the Big South football conference schedule.
Okay.
And so in September, when that deal was signed, then it made the A-Sun a viable option for us.
Okay. So, yeah, I noticed that the Southern Conference was really going more to smaller, more private institutions. You know, Chattanooga is about the only one that really looks – I mean, there's a couple, maybe one or two others, but everybody else is kind of left. I mean, Georgia Southern, I think, was in that conference as well, and when they moved up, then, you know, some other schools.
Happy State. I think Western Carolina and UTC might be the two remaining ones.
Yeah. Wow. So there was a whole mix of things that came together to kind of create that urge or that move to get out. And to get out of a D2 and move to D1, even though the groundwork had been laid for a long time, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So today, who started that? We got to move to D1. Was that you? Was that the president? Was that the board? Was that boosters?
Well, you know, the community is very passionate about UNA athletics,
yeah,
which is great, and so. It came through, you know, just some dialogue within the community, and then our board of trustees. We have 9 board members that actually come and vote and are active in our process. Back in 2010-11, when we knew the moratorium was going to come up, we had probably 4 or 5 board members that were passionate about athletics, and they said, you know, especially when the 6 Arkansas schools left the conference. We struggled to get games, you know, as a Division II. I never thought that I would be paying $25,000, $30,000 to have somebody come play me.
Oh, you know, wow.
Those numbers at the Division II ranks when I got into Division II just didn't exist. And I never thought I would be taking a Division II team for a regular season game out to Oregon or Washington, you know, in order to get games. And so the dynamics of our Southeast region with Division II also – Division II is really based on regionalization and regionalization play. That's
uh-huh.
how you get elected into the postseason is by playing people in your region. And the 2 or 3 conferences that are in our region are they're big, so they don't need the same number of out-of-conference games. And so it's really difficult for teams to find, you know, in region but outside their conference games. And then when you're good at some sports, they don't want to play you either because it hurts their chances of getting in.
Right.
And so that's kind of the dynamic we've been in for the last, I'd say probably the last 4 years. If you look at our football schedule, we're taking 2 plane trips in a regular season every year. And so when you start looking at operating dollars and you look at how we're going to probably travel in this Big South, we're probably not going to have any more than that when we go to Division I. And so it's been a very interesting process.
So the money, I mean, there was a financial aspect just having the cost to go find places to play, find teams to play, and all that kind of stuff. And so you really, by moving up to a conference, a D1 conference that was more regional, it makes a lot of sense because you're not spending as much money, but also you're getting more money back from the conference.
Yeah, we're, don't get me wrong. We will spend more money at Division One.
Okay.
Travel, officiating fees are a lot higher.
Okay.
You know, hopefully, you know, you're looking at scholarships. There's more scholarships that you need to award. Like for football, we're capped right now at 36 at Division Two. At the FCS level, we'll go up to 63. Okay. So there's 27 scholarships that we'll have to fund. So that's an expense.
Right. Is there a cost of
revenue?
The cost of attendance adjustment? Do y'all, is that taken into consider? Is it a cost of attendance? Didn't the NCAA pass something a couple of years ago where you could give the kid what $5,000-$6,000 what it would technically cost to attend?
Yeah, that's what they call permissive legislation. So if you want to, you can. If you can't afford it, then you don't have to. And that cost of attendance, it kind of varies from institution to institution.
Okay.
So, you know, Alabama probably has a cost of attendance, you know, that the excess from a full grant made to cost of attendance might be $5,000-$6,000 at Alabama, you know, where maybe at, say, at Jacksonville State, it might be $3,000.
Right.
Each institution is a little bit different.
Okay.
On cost of attendance. But, yeah, the scholarship piece will cost us a little bit more. But what people sometimes don't realize is the revenue streams that are available at the Division One level that are not available at the Division Two level.
Sure. Like
For example, last year, the NCAA sent us at North Alabama, I think, about a little under $11,000. Okay, that was our distribution back. I'll tell you, you know, at a sister school that's at the FCS level, they received right under the $1 million mark.
Oh, wow.
For their distribution from the NCAA. And so when you start looking at some of the revenue streams that are available, game guarantees, we think that we can offset most of the costs like that.
So
not putting a heavy burden on our institution.
Sure. So you guys will end up probably playing teams like Troy, maybe even some D1, some FCS teams, FBS teams, sorry, with some guarantees that are probably a little bit more than in the past.
That's right. For us, we went in basketball. We played Auburn in basketball 2 years ago, I think it was, as a Division II. And that game guarantee was about $25,000.
Okay.
Now, as a Division I counterpart, if you were to go down and play that same game, you're probably looking anywhere between $80,000 to $120,000.
Oh, wow.
Just because being a Division I will help their RPI.
Oh, sure. Okay, that makes more sense.
So that game means more to them than playing a Division II that doesn't help their RPI.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes incredible sense. So what did you guys have to do to make this transition? I know you had to convince community members and you had to convince students because, I mean, there's going to be more fees, I would assume, activity fees and things like that. So you got to sell it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first, you can only sell what you believe in.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know that. And so this is more than just an athletic transition. This is a university transition. And we're D1 in so many areas. I mean, our business accreditation is the best in the land,
yeah.
You know, and our nursing program is second to none. We're getting ready to build a new nursing building on campus and have great placement right there. And so we already do some great things academically. And so this is more of a vision of excellency and pursuing, you know, what makes sense for us as a university. You know, you look at previous studies and previous institutions that have made the transition, and you can see an enrollment increase at those universities.
Sure.
Ranging anywhere between 11 and 13%.
Oh, wow.
11 to 13% for us would be another 800 to 1,000 students. And so when you start looking at that, it's probably a bad analogy, but, you know, Walmart is so successful because of the volume.
Yes.
It's not their markup, right?
Right.
It's the volume. And so if we can bring more customers, all right, we call them students, but
right.
And we want to give them a great product to buy,
Right.
But if we bring more of them into the front doors, all right, then it allows us to keep the markup relatively low, which is that cost of the increase in tuition.
Right.
Right. And so it's a volume game. It's a demand game. And what we see is Division One, whether we like it or not, society has made athletics really important.
Yes.
And it can be a tremendous marketing arm for your university.
And especially in the South.
Especially football in the South.
Yeah,
Division
exactly.
One. And so when you start looking at all those pieces, for universities to survive, we have to make sure that there are students that are coming in. And it's a lot easier to manage your enrollment, whether it's through admission requirements, or whether you're going to allow everybody to come in, whatever your philosophy is, it's a lot easier to implement a vision and a strategy if you have students that are coming in the doors that want to be there.
Right.
Right. You got to have people in the queue that want to come through the front doors before you can put restrictions or parameters or any admission requirements there. Okay. And so as we looked at all those pieces, it just made a lot of sense for us at North Alabama to really try to open up the queue to make sure that we're getting into some major markets. You know, by going into the ASUN, we're going to now be playing in Nashville.
Right.
We're going to be playing in Atlanta. We're going to be playing in Jacksonville, Florida. We're going to be playing up in the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area. And so you start looking at all the positives that could come for enrollment. That enrollment, if it comes, it allows us to keep our tuition down because we'll have more students on campus.
Right.
And the visibility is a lot higher. So hopefully the momentum will continue. And so that's the philosophy behind it. And we think it's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah. So you almost at this point we're bringing your athletics up to the same level as your academics.
That's right.
You know,
people say all the time, I don't know if you've ever been to Florence and seen the campus or seen the community.
Yeah.
But it's, people say, and they kind of giving us a compliment, I guess, but we're the best kept secret in Alabama.
Yeah.
And we want to get rid of that. We want to start telling our story because it is an amazing place. And, you know, after we made the announcement, I think I was on 4 radio stations in Birmingham. You know, on a station in I think Nashville, and Huntsville had me on their radio station. And I made that comment that, you know, if we had not done that, you wouldn't have me on your radio station. But now you have me on your radio station talking about the great things about UNA. And there's moms and dads that are listening to you right now. There are prospective students that are listening to you right now that say, well, I didn't even know about North Alabama. We need to go up and check them out. And so it's an exposure thing that we believe the Division I transition can help us with.
Yeah, and, you know, I've only been to Florence a couple of times, but it's a beautiful place up there, and there's all kinds of stuff to do. And, you know, you've got the is it the, not the orchestra, the, I can't think of the, it's not the opera, it's, but you have a symphony. That's the word I was looking for. The symphony, and there's all kinds of things. They've got Sun Studios up. Not Sun Studios. You got the, you know, the Swampers were up there, and that great, you probably saw that great documentary on Muscle Shoals.
That's right.
You know.
Oh, yeah, our heritage up here is amazing. You know, we have the Tennessee River for those people that like to boat and fish.
Absolutely.
You know, for recreation. We have golf courses that are second to none with the two of the RTJ courses are up here in our community. We got a 4-star hotel, the Marriott, that's amazing. And so, we have great music in our area. You can go and watch the Muscle Shoals documentary that you made reference to.
Yeah.
But, you know, W.C. Handy was born here. And so we have a 10-day festival in summertime, the W.C. Handy Festival, that people from around the world come to because there's music everywhere. And so, and then we have a great university that is very strong and putting great great young people out into the workforce. And so you mix all that together, and then you feel like you're obligated to at least get the message out.
Right. Cool. Well, I also see that as, the economic development that's coming to Florence, because of a D1 program, has got to be a huge impact, because you're keeping students, not only are you keeping students on campus on the weekends, which is a big deal for a college town, because it's not a college town, but it kind of is a college town. Then you've got people traveling for the games, and of course in the South we like to tailgate, and so you got more people tailgating because you're playing more well-known opponents and bigger opponents and things like that, and then even going to play in Atlanta. Atlanta's not too far from Florence. There's a good chance you guys could pick up UAB in a couple of years, and that's right down the road. So there's all in Nashville's what, 2.5 hours. Something like that. So the economic development for the region in and of itself is kind of an overflow or an outflow of moving up to D1.
That's right. And the university already has around a $280 million economic impact on the Shoals area. And if we were to increase our enrollment, say, by 800 students, that's going to bring another $30 million to the area on an annual basis. And so you're right, it has a positive impact for our area, has a positive impact on our campus because there's more tuition dollars there. We can use that to stabilize the increase in tuition. Our students nowadays are looking for the experience, And so we think this will be a great experience. We started scheduling for we'll be Division II next year.
Okay.
For 17-18, but then in fall of 18, we go into our first year of Division I. And we have, like, our soccer program. We're talking to the likes of Alabama State, Alabama A&M, Vanderbilt, and before we even get into conference play. And our baseball programs, talking to some folks that it would really be fun and exciting for our fan base to go watch, cool. And they're close enough that what some people fail to realize is that in the state of Alabama, we are the number 10 Division I institution. There's 10 Division I, now that we've made this declaration, there's 10 in the state of Alabama.
Wow.
And so
I would say in Alabama, you're probably, as far as reputation, probably number 4.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I think Alabama, Auburn, Jack State, and then UNA, specifically because UNA's had such a long history of winning.
Yeah, and we think in our sport of football, it's not an arrogance or anything like that, but there's a few of our sports, maybe 4 or 5, 6 of them, that we understand it's going to be a hard climb to get, to the success that we're used to. And so I don't think we're fooling ourselves. There's a lot of information we're going to have to learn. There's a lot of strategies we're going to have to implement. We're going to have a lot of those things that you just don't know because you don't know.
Right.
But I do think in maybe the sport of football and some of our others that because of the tradition that we're bringing with us, and we fund our sports programs pretty well. Our coaches will tell you it needs to be better, right? But I think we're going to be able to at least be competitive within the next decade at that level.
Okay. So was it a hard sell or was it easy?
Well, that's a tough question. Whenever I was given the opportunity to talk about it, we also went through a presidential change here at the university.
Okay.
The individual that hired me, Dr. Kell, is a great man. And then he retired before we got the opportunity to transition. And then we brought in Dr. Kim Kitts, who is wonderful to work for. So during that transition, as an AD, you never want to get in front of your president.
Yeah.
And so for us, a lot of it was having great conversations with me, having great conversations with him, saying, okay, here are the positives, and here are the negatives. And there's some things that you have to go in with your eyes wide open and
right.
say, this is going to be hard, or this is going to take an additional investment, and is it worth the is it worth it? Do we think there will be a return on the investment? And, you know, and so, you know, you have to take some calculated risk in some areas. And so a lot of, you talked about education because of the presidential change. Probably the biggest piece was just getting the information, accurate information. And we went out after Ken Kitts came on board, our new president, and we had a third party do a feasibility study for us again.
Okay.
Just we freshened up the numbers from 2011. And then we just sat down and tried to start educating our board members, you know, as far as the positives and the negatives, the, you know, the opportunities and the threats. And so there was a lot of communication, and yeah, it was a lot of communication.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the hardest things to do when you're in a, like, you're in a place of leadership, and yet there's somebody who's over you, so you're also in a place of followership. And so when you have a situation like that, what you described is you have to sell up, and then you also have to sell out.
Gotcha.
You know, you sell up to your president, who's the person over you, but you have to sell out to the other stakeholders, almost with the president's message. So you almost have to sell up to him first, and then you can sell out together.
And the thing with our relationship, Dr. Kitts really is approachable. He has established a culture of where you feel comfortable at least giving them the information.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, from 2011 to 2016, right, that five-year period,
right,
there was a lot of fatigue, you know, fatigue of our staff, fatigue of our donors, fatigue of our campus, you know, because – okay, we make this announcement in 2011 that we're going to pursue Division I, and 5 years later, we don't have anything to show for it, and donors have been given to the cause. And the first decision that Dr. Kitts and I made together is, you know, 2016, we have got to get out of this no man's land. Either we're going to do it or we're not going to do it. And if we can't find a suitable conference to join and they don't invite us because you have to have a conference invitation to go to Division I, if that doesn't look like it's going to happen by 2017, then let's pull the resolution off the table to move, and let's be committed to being the very best Division II program in the nation. And so that was the first decision that we made, and so that was really good to know that there was going to be an end to the process.
Yeah, you almost have to have that end. You have to have something to give people a little bit of encouragement along the way that, yeah, we are taking these steps, and here's something tangible that we can say we've done. And so how did you keep the fatigue from being overwhelming? I mean, because that's 5 years is a long time to you know, without anything seemingly happen. I was Googling UNA Division I all the time, and you know, I couldn't find anything. So
I don't know if we managed it that well, to be honest with you. We tried to communicate as often as we could, but there's only so many, because of my relationship with the ASUN and the conference commissioner there. I met him 5 years ago and had coffee with him at the NCAA convention. And we just sat down, and he goes, "We don't have anything for you because we don't have a football option," you know. And so that was the extent of that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, "Hi, how you doing? My name's Mark. Hello, my name's Ted. Yeah, we know you're trying to go D1, but it's not going to be with the ASUN because we don't have football."
Wow.
And, okay, thanks for being honest with me. Well, then, we just stayed in contact because he said, "Whatever you need from me to help you, I'll certainly help you." But and he's just a great individual, and so we just kept in contact. And then the idea was floated, well, maybe we can come up with a football affiliation with the Big South. But at the time, it was confidential. You know, you don't want to get that out in the public because you have so many presidents of the Big South that need to agree to it. You have to have so many presidents in the ASUN that need to agree to it.
Right.
And it, you know, there's a lot of maneuvering that he had to do to pull this thing together. But there was always the concept that, okay, if we can hang in there long enough, you know, we might have a football option if we join the ASUN, but it's going to depend on what they do, not what we do. And that's the tough part about, you know, the whole process, is there's a lot of things that we had to have happen probably the right way, but we really had no control over. And so when that 5-year process, we knew we were getting closer and closer and closer to that agreement happening, but I couldn't tell our donors, I couldn't tell the media to get it out to the masses.
Right.
So it was a lot of individual meetings saying, hey, hang in there with us. We think we're on to something. But you can only say that for so long until people go, and it's like Chicken Little, right?
Yeah, right.
And so that's where the fatigue really started. But I think you know, on December 6th when we made the announcement, we were in a facility that holds about 300 people, and we put our press conference in there for a reason. And I was hopeful that, you know, we could get those people that had been with us early and fell off, those people that were with us the whole time and stayed with us, that they would come and be a part of that celebration. And that room was packed that day. It had to be about 350 people come to our press conference. And, it was a good day for our community.
And, it looked good on video to have, I mean, just the optics of the fact that that room was packed even after 5 years of saying, you know, we're trying to go D1, we're trying to go D1. The optics of that were really well done because that made a huge impression. This isn't just, you know, something that a few people wanted to do. This is in mass.
Right. Yeah, it was a good day for us.
That is so cool. So you guys start, you're 2017, 2018, you're still D2. 2018, 2019, you go D1. And then you have, what, a 4-year probationary period, something like that?
Yeah, it's called a transition period.
Okay.
And the great thing about the ASERM is they allow transitioning members to compete for conference championships.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge because I think they're the only conference that does that. And why that's so big is, you know, in the recruiting trail, where now we can go out and say, hey, you can come to UNA and still compete for championships.
Yeah.
And the other leagues that we were looking at, they say, no, you just got to kind of grind through it, and we're not going to put you in because they don't want to mess up their on-mat qualifier to go to the NCAA. For example, like the ASUN, whoever wins the conference basketball tournament would be the representative of the ASUN at March Madness.
Right.
Right. And so so that's their A, that they call it on-mat qualifier. That's the AQ.
Right.
So, but they have put into their policies and bylaws and that if a transitioning member or a program that's not eligible to represent the ASUN at the NCAA, if they're not eligible, then it goes to the regular season champion.
Okay. And what if they happen to be the same person, the same team? What if they happen to be the same team?
They would go to
the second guy?
They go to the second. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the great thing about 13 of our 14 sports is now they're going to be able to recruit. And in basketball, yeah, if we have a good enough, you know, that's a tall order now. I mean, we are talking about going up a level in competition.
Sure.
So I don't want anybody to think that we think we're just going to step into Division I and start winning all these games. It's going to take a time period for us to recruit the right kids, to, you know, make sure we have the facilities to recruit the right kids. So
right.
It's going to be a long haul. But if we say in year 4 we've made a good transition in women's basketball, or made a great transition in men's basketball, and say we win a few more than we lose, we would be eligible for the NIT, right? Because that's not an NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah, you would be.
Yeah, and so there's some other things that you can play for postseason, and the more postseason that you're eligible for, right, the better off you are on the recruiting trail.
Right.
So you guys are
true Division I in everything but football, and in football you're FCS, right?
That's right.
Okay. And so what about is it the Big Sun? No, the Big South, where you're going to be playing football. Do you have any shot at conference championship there or no?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be a full year. We're going to play our regular season games, and then at the end of the season we'll put our pads away for 4 years.
Okay.
But that's when you start talking about, two things that are probably more intrinsic motivators is, you know, and we've started talking to our football recruits about this, is next year, you get to play for a Division II championship. a conference championship at Division II.
Right.
But then, you know, the reason I'm so excited about this class coming in is that they're going to be trailblazers. Yeah. They're going to get the opportunity to be the first team to win a Division I football game.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be the first team that has the opportunity to have a winning season at Division I. They're going to be the first team that has the opportunity to play an FBS institution. You know, we've never played a football game against a FBS school because they just won't play a Division II. So, you know, how cool would that be if we can sign a contract in 3 or 4 years to play an SEC opponent?
Sure.
You know, that would be an experience.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of firsts that are coming up, you know, for this group of student athletes, and I'm excited about it.
Oh wow, are they responding to that message so far? I mean, have you got a good class coming in so far?
I think so. The first weekend we had 12 kids come on campus, and I think we got 11 committed.
Oh wow.
And we had 12 on Thursday, and I don't know what the result has been. Those meetings work, okay. And then we have a few coming in today. So okay. we think we're going to have a pretty big signing class.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Well, man, I'm pretty excited about this. I there's no lie. I was pretty excited when I heard you guys were going to go. And I know this is a lot of work on your part and on the school part as well. So I'm kind of anxious to see UNA play some D1 teams. I mean, if you played UAB, I'd probably come over because it's not that far. Realistically, it's not that far. So,
especially when we play Kennesaw.
Oh yeah, Kennesaw. That's right. Exactly.
Make sure you have a purple shirt on that day.
That's right. That's an hour up the road. So, well, depending on traffic, it could be 30 minutes. It could be an hour. So yeah, I've been by that stadium. And I know they merged with Southern Poly a couple of years ago, so their enrollment has busted out. And Vince Dooley has been a consultant for them the last few years.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, they have a pretty good team. They show them in Atlanta on Saturdays. I mean, they're on the local station, so you can watch Kennesaw State. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that's good exposure. For people who are fans of or you know want to watch some football on Saturday, that they're waiting for Georgia to come on or they're waiting for you know some of those teams to come on. So I hope you enjoyed that the video with him. A couple things that I want to bring out as I wrap up this episode of Innova Radio. One of the things he said is that you have to believe in what you're selling. If you don't have a belief in the vision you're trying to communicate or the idea that you're trying to share, if you don't believe in what you're trying to do, then it's very difficult to sell it. And that is so true. Another thing that he said that I think was really good, and he said it, and then I was able to, I encapsulated it a little bit, was when you're in a place of followership, you have to learn how to sell up. You have to learn to sell those that you are following, and you also have to learn to sell out. So you sell up to the people that you follow, and you sell out to the people that are following you. And that's huge, because many of us are in a place of leadership, but we still have somebody who's over us, and so we have to learn how to follow to sell what we're trying to. What we believe in to those that basically give us the permission to go out and execute. And that's exactly one of the things that he was talking about. And I loved that idea. I love that that concept. And then, you know, he talked about how he had to continue to work
the people who were committed, give them the little bitty chunks to know that we indeed are in the process and we're moving and we're going forward, because fatigue does set in. It just gets hard to continue on when you struggle with seeing progress, and that's exactly what he had to do, Mark had to do, to really execute on this. And then, you know, another thing that he brought out that I thought was really, really good. When we're trying to persuade and we're trying to communicate and we're trying to cast the vision, we're trying to lead, we have to show how this really impacts not just us and maybe the group that we're involved in, but how it impacts the whole community at large. We've got to be able to sell that. You know, he talked about having a $280 million a year impact in the Florence area, the Muscle Shoals area. They call that the kind of the Tri-Cities area, but the impact that they have in that area. But what this does, if they have a typical increase in moving divisions from 11% to 13% increase and have another 1,000 students, well, that's more apartments that are being rented because those people are coming from out of town. The impact, so you have apartments being built, you have restaurants impacted by that, you have stores and retail impacted by that. There's a huge economic impact that's coming. Simply because of the increase in students, he fairly characterized them in customers, because that's a lot of what they are. So I think there were some really good takeaways in there. Just mentioned those three or four. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I've got some more interviews. I'm trying to finalize and line up and get scheduled. And then I've also got some other interviews that we're going to, other podcasts, the ideas that we're going to continue on this idea of leadership and transformation and talking through that. So I hope you enjoyed it. Look forward to working with you on your next podcast. Love for you to give a review on iTunes. Be sure to like us on Facebook, the Innova Radio page on Facebook. You can do a search for that on Twitter as well. Go to my website, wdavidphillips.com. Look forward to interacting with you in several ways. All right. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thanks for listening in today. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.